The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 16. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. This is the word of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." The epistle is from Galatians chapter 4. "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? "Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman." So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers." You may be seated. This fourth Sunday in Lent, Lytare, is a bit of a Lenten oasis and respite, so to speak. We stop, we rest, we rejoice, and then we move forward to Passiontide, which begins next Sunday, that next layer of this Lenten season as we move towards Holy Week. And in some ways, this is a lot like our lives in Christ as a whole. The church here has a way of doing that, of mirroring things in our life. We go through this life and we rest in the Lord as we look forward to that day of eternal rest, that day of the eternal Sabbath. And in this way, there is a leisure to this in the true sense of the term in this Sunday of the church year. As you go through this life, you cling to Christ, you cling to his word, and you're at rest. You stop and you pause to consider all your God has done for you in this life and still does because Christ has come and he has done it. And so today you see Jesus miraculously feed these people, and next week you will hear a confrontation between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. But you see this all together. You see the same Lord who does all of this because you know where Jesus is heading at the end of this Lenten season. You know how this all ends. You know the cost that has been paid so that your redemption has been won and you have eternal life. You know it and you have it, even this very day. And so we sit, we listen. We hear the account of the Lord giving to his people, working this miracle, and we give him thanks for what he has done and promises us of what is to come, because Jesus is our priceless treasure. And so St. John writes, "After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand." Now, right before our reading, Jesus teaches about how Moses pointed to him as the promised one, bearing witness through his writings in the Old Testament. But the Jews rejected this, as they still do today, and failed to see Jesus as the Messiah. And really then, if this is the mode by which one reads the scriptures and one operates with that Jesus isn't the Christ, then nothing of what he does, working this miracle even, makes sense. And there's no rest. There's just anxiousness. But here then, when our reading picks up, Jesus is beginning what is a long chapter in the scriptures. John 6 is really long. And it contains a great deal of unpacking that Jesus is, in fact, the one promised, the one sent by God, the very bread of life, come down from heaven to give eternal life to his people. And so this chapter then starts off with this large crowd. They're around him. They're here. They're listening. But if you know John 6 well, and it ends up with only a small number, primarily the 12 apostles. And even then, Jesus singles out Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. And it all goes to show how ridiculous sin is, and how it thinks and how it lives, let alone the eternal condemnation that comes upon sin and those who refuse to repent. There's an element in this that is just absolutely blinding, and how it makes someone when it comes to the things of God. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't know and discern the things of the Scriptures and the person of Christ. That's part of what it means that the image of God has been lost in the fall into sin. We lack a right understanding. We lack a right knowledge. We lack a right fear and trust in Christ and in these eternal things. Instead, man has replaced this thinking and living directed toward God and eternity with narrowing our lens and seeing everything and defined by the here and now. And that's the end-all be-all. The Jews, as one example, wanted temporal deliverance. Time and again, they wanted the Messiah to deliver them from the Romans, to make Israel great again. They also didn't want to see their sin and its severity. They didn't want to see that God's law is not given for redemption. But when Christ came as the fulfillment of Israel, as the fulfiller of the law and makes all things new, they hated him. Even when the very writings they were trying to use against Jesus bore witness to him, pointing them to him and what he was saying and doing right before their own very eyes. They were blinded in their understanding and in their false belief. And so a crowd comes, and Jesus sees them. And lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." So testing Philip, Jesus is getting him to look beyond what's before his eyes, what appears to be something impossible, and see things and see him in light of who's before him. So with the eyes, just 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, when you just look at that and you see the crowd before you, it's 5,000 of just the men. There's more than that there. There's no way that people can be fed. But when the one who's asking you, "What are we going to do?" when that guy is none other than the eternal Son of God, well, then nothing is impossible. And in fact, you actually should expect him to give and work as he has promised to do. But sin, though, doesn't see with the eyes of faith. It looks simply at the here and now. So what did Jesus do? John goes on. "Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, 'Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost.' So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, 'This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world.'" Now, all 4 Gospels have this miracle recorded in their accounts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they have this all. And there's something to what Jesus did here working this miracle. Here they are, they're in this place, and God, out of his abundant mercy, out of his goodness, out of his compassion toward them, he feeds them. He is the Christ. He is the promised one. And Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to redeem them from sin, death, and the devil. And so these signs, John's word for miracle, show forth this work and who he is as the Christ. The apostles would see, and they would acknowledge this later, even at the end of John 6, when others had left, and here as Jesus is teaching them what they would later do as the instruments of preaching, teaching, and administering the sacraments after his ascension into heaven. They saw him doing this work and were looking to what is to come. But here this reading ends today with the people. And what did they want? Well, first they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." And this title of prophet is a messianic title, one that had been promised that this would be the Messiah who would be to come. And who, where does it come from? Moses. Moses wrote of the prophet to come after him, who was to be greater. And Moses did bear witness to Jesus, just as he bore witness as he recorded that account in Exodus, in the Old Testament reading, of God raining down manna from heaven. And so they said this, they weren't, so when the people said this, that he is indeed the prophet, they're right. They weren't wrong in their words. But what did they want with this? Well, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The people were still lacking in their understanding. They wanted to make Jesus king. So here's the guy who can feed us. So let's have him as our ruler. Sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? Think about in worldly, temporal things, just how much we focus on the immediate here and now. And while in our vocations we do that, but what does God teach us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. Knowing that even these temporal things that we have come from our God. Or when we look at these things and we want to see, we want someone who will this give us this now with no regard for the future. But what would have happened though? What would have happened if they would have made Jesus king? What harm would it have done? I mean, Jesus is the king, right? Well, there's something missing if this would have happened. It would have robbed us of something. It would have robbed us of the cross. Because Jesus was looking ahead. He was looking at what is to come. His eyes were fixed on something else. Because he would indeed be the king. He would be the king that we need, not the one that our hearts think that we want. The Lord is good, he is merciful, and he has in mind our salvation even as he has provided bread and fish for these people to eat in this place. So as we sit and we listen and we meditate on all this today, God calls you to look at your lives and see what the Lord says to you through this text. God provides for you. God gives you your daily bread. God calls you to recognize this in all things and give him thanks, to serve him and obey him. And that's nothing insignificant, because lest you forget, if it wasn't God providing for you each and every day, you wouldn't have a thing. Everything you have is because of God's mercy towards you in Christ, be it how little or how great it is out of the gracious hand of God. And so it's ridiculous when we forget this. Or when we want to see our life apart from God and his care, his daily care. Or when we simply want to define our life by the here and now and not look ahead to the life to come. And so pray for God's care. Trust that he does provide and give him thanks in your life for all of his benefits. And don't forget where his kingdom is found. His kingdom is the eternal kingdom. A kingdom not of this world. Because the cross is on the horizon in this reading today. And so is the glorious Easter morning. The Passover was at hand, and another Passover, a final Passover, would see the spotless Lamb of God sacrificed on the altar of the cross so that your sin is forgiven. And so you hear these things today, and you rejoice. You rejoice in Jesus, who is the bread of life, whose mercy overflows in abundance, and find joy, true joy, in your Lord crucified and risen for you. Because all that he has, all that he is, it's yours every day as you are baptized into Christ. Because you are glad when you go to his house as he feeds you with the eternal bread of immortality and his eternal saving word. And you know that you have the eternal inheritance. You know that the here and now is not the end. The end is eternal life. It's a life that knows no end. And so Jesus is here, and he invites you to sit and rest. He has compassion on you just as he has compassion on the crowds. You rest easy in the arms of Jesus as he shows you his mercy and give him thanks for all that he has done. Feast at his supper and be satisfied as your sin is forgiven and he gives you life and salvation. The bread of life is yours this day as he has come, as he has died, and he has risen. And you go home this day and eat your daily bread, knowing that the Lord is good, and the very reason that's on your table is because Jesus has died for you. Jesus is your priceless treasure. Rejoice, people of God. Rejoice and be glad this day in the Lord who has done all things well. He fed the multitude by his miraculous work, and he feeds and takes care of you every day. This is who your Lord is. This is what he does. This is the care he has for you, daily and even unto eternal life. So taste and see that he is good. Give him thanks for all he gives you, and love your neighbor as his people. Receive this all and look forward, look ahead to that day when you no longer need daily bread, as you will hunger no more, nor thirst any more. For your body it will be raised, and you will see the Lord face to face. You will see the bread of life. And on that day, there will be eternal rest, eternal rejoicing that knows no limits and knows no end. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.